He was deep in the box scores when Heidi brought him another half of English muffin, golden with melting butter. Halleck ate it, almost without being aware he was doing so. In the city, a damaged suit that had dragged on for over 3 years, a suit he had expected to drag on in one shape or another for the next 3 or 4 years, came to an unexpected and gratifying end at mid-morning, with a plaintiff agreeing during a court recess to settle for an amount that was nothing short of stupefying. Halleck lost no time getting said plaintiff, a paint manufacturer from Schenectady, and his client to sign a letter of good intent in the judge's chambers. The plaintiff's lawyer had looked on with palpable dismay and disbelief while his client, president of the Good Luck Paint Company, scratched his name on 6 copies of the letter, and as the court clerk notarized copy after copy, his bald head gleaming mellowly. Billy sat quietly, hands folded in his lap, feeling as if he had won the New York lottery. By lunch hour, it was all over but the shouting. Billy took himself and the client to O'Lunny's, ordered Chivas in a water glass for the client and a martini for himself, and then called Heidi at home. "Mohonk," he said, when she picked up the phone. It was a rambling upstate New York resort where they had spent their honeymoon, a gift from Heidi's parents a long, long time ago. Both of them had fallen in love with the place, and they had spent 2 vacations there since. "What?" "Mohonk," he repeated. "If you don't want to go, I'll ask Jillian from the office." "No, you won't. Billy, what is this? Do you want to go or not?" "Of course I do. This weekend?" "Tomorrow, if you can get Mrs. Bean to come in and check on Linda and make sure the wash gets done and that there aren't any orgies going on in front of the TV in the family room, and if..." But Heidi's squeal temporarily drowned him out. "Your case, Billy. The paint fumes and the nervous breakdown and the psychotic episode and..." "Canley is going to settle. In fact, Canley has settled. After about 14 years of boardroom bullshit and long legal opinions meaning exactly nothing, your husband has finally won one for the good guys. Clearly, decisively, and without a doubt, Canley's settled, and I'm on top of the world." "Billy! God!" she squealed again, this time so loud the phone distorted. Billy held it away from his ear, grinning. "How much is your guy getting?" Billy named the figure, and this time he had to hold the phone away from his ear for almost 5 seconds. "Will Linda mind us taking 5 days off, do you think? When she can stay up until 1 watching HBO late night and have Georgia Deaver over and both of them can talk about boys while they gorge themselves on my chocolates? Are you kidding? Will it be cold up there this time of year, Billy? Do you want me to pack your green cardigan? Do you want your parka or your denim jacket? Or both? Do you..." He told her to use her judgment and went back to his client. The client was already halfway through his huge glass of Chivas and wanted to tell Polish jokes. The client looked as if he had been hit with a hammer. Halleck drank his martini and listened to standard witticisms about Polish carpenters and Polish restaurants with half an ear, his mind clicking cheerily away on other matters. The case could have far-reaching implications. It was too soon to say it was going to change the course of his career, but it might. It very well might. Not bad for the sort of case big firms take on as charity work. It could mean that... The first thud jolts Heidi forward, and for a moment she squeezes him. He is faintly aware of pain in his groin. The jolt is hard enough to make her seatbelt lock. Blood flies up, 3 dime-sized drops, and splatters on the windshield like red rain. She hasn't even had time to begin to scream. She will scream later. He hasn't had time to even begin to realize. The beginning of realization comes with a second thud, and he swallowed the rest of his martini at a gulp. Tears came to his eyes. "You okay?" the client, David Duganfield by name, asked. "I'm so okay you wouldn't believe it," Billy said, and reached across the table to his client. "Congratulations, David." He would not think about the accident. He would not think about the gypsy with the rotting nose. He was one of the good guys. That fact was apparent in Duganfield's strong grip and his tired, slightly sappy smile. "Thank you, man," Duganfield said. "Thank you so much." He suddenly leaned over the table and clumsily embraced Billy Halleck. Billy hugged him back. But as David Dugan-Field's arms went around his neck, one palm slipped up the angle of his cheek, and he thought again of the old gypsy man's weird caress. "He touched me," Halleck thought, and even as he hugged his client, he shivered. He tried to think about David Dugan-Field on the way home. Dugan-Field was a good thing to think about. But instead of Dugan-Field, he found himself thinking about Ginelli by the time he was on the Triborough Bridge. He and Dugan-Field had spent most of the afternoon in O'Lunny's, but Billy's first impulse had been to take his client to Three Brothers, the restaurant in which Richard Ginelli held an informal silent partnership. It had been years now since he had actually been in the Brothers. With Ginelli's reputation, it would not have been wise. But it was the Brothers he always thought of first, still. Billy had had some good meals and good times there, although Heidi had never cared much for the place or for Ginelli. Ginelli frightened her, Billy thought. He was passing the Gunhill Road exit on the New York Thruway when his thoughts led back to the old gypsy man as predictably as a horse going back into its barn. "It was Ginelli you thought of first. When you got home that day and Heidi was sitting out in the kitchen crying, it was Ginelli you thought of first. Hey, Rich, I killed an old lady today. Can I come into town and talk to you?" But Heidi was in the next room, and Heidi would not have understood. Billy's hand hovered over the telephone and then fell away. It occurred to him with sudden clarity that he was a well-to-do lawyer from Connecticut who, when things got hairy, could think of only one person to call, a New York hoodlum who had apparently developed the habit of shooting the competition over the years. Ginelli was tall, not terribly good-looking, but a natural clothes horse. His voice was strong and kind, not the sort of voice one would associate with dope, vice, and murder. He was associated with all three, if you believed his rap sheet. But it had been Ginelli's voice Billy wanted to hear on that terrible afternoon after Duncan Hopley, the Fairview chief of police, had let him go. "Or just sit there all day?" "Huh?" Billy said, startled. He realized he was sitting in one of the few booths at the Rye Toll Plaza actually staffed by a human being. "I said, are you going to pay or just..." "Okay," Billy said, and gave the toll taker a dollar. He got his change and drove on. Almost to Connecticut. 19 exits to go to Heidi. Then off to Mohonk. Dugan-Field wasn't working as a diversion. So try Mohonk. Let's just forget the old gypsy woman and the old gypsy man for a while. What say? But it was Ginelli his thoughts